Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, 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 amen. New beginning is not just for the young. Amen. I love saying that. I love saying that, especially as you get older, as you get older. Amen. We just say that new beginnings is not just for the young. It's even for those who are gracefully aging. Amen. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again to Blog Talk Radio. We are New Beginnings Ministry. and we are here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We are an interactive Bible study, and what does that mean? That means that we interact with you. Amen. We're not just sharing the word, but we as one person, but we're sharing the word together. So as we disseminate or talk about the word of God, we ask you to share your input, to share your input, amen, to how you interpret what the Lord is saying through Scripture. Amen. And through that, we gain a greater understanding. And God says, in all things, gain understanding. Amen. And we're always trying to gain more understanding as we live this life on this earth. Amen. We're going to have prayer. And then after we have prayer, we're going to move on into our scripture. And our scripture is coming from Judges 13, 1 through 7, and 24 through 25. Amen. And we'll be talking about Samson's call. Father, we thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Father, we thank you for who you are, a God who can never fail, a God that we can call on in our times of trials as well as our successes, a God who said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. A God who was here from the very beginning and who will be here in the very end to come to claim back the church. We thank you for being able to call you our Father, a Father that knows how to take care of his own even before they ask. We thank you for that. And Father, as we continue praying, we'd like to lift up the names that people that have been, that are asking for prayer, and we constantly keep them on our list. Looking for, and I'm going to say looking, expecting a praise report. And those names that we have on Pastor Paul Robinson from out of Tennessee, Minister Bill Robinson from out of Atlanta, Sister Tanette Dickerson from out of Alabama, and we just received a call from Minister Cassandra Ricks from out of North Carolina, who comes on a regular basis to share your word. Her father has some complications, and she's taking him to the doctor, and we're praying for a clean report from the doctors. Amen. We know that you're that type of God. And then we continue to keep in prayer Stuart Hawthorne, who had a major surgery on his head. And we thank you, Father, as we see him recovering more and more day by day. A man who was paralyzed and who now is able to lift his arm and who's able to take baby steps when he was bedridden. We thank you for being that type of God. And Lord Father, there's others who are out there who are in the need of prayer. You know just who they are and what they're in need of. And Father, we're asking that you would just bless them according to their desires of their heart. Lord Father, we just thank you, Father, for just looking over us. What will we do without you? We ask that you would give this ministry words to be able to speak into your words, into your people, into the ear gates of your people, Father, so that they may be able to apply it to their lives, that something might be saved that might resonate in their spiritual growth. We thank you, Father. We give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise in the majestic name of Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this topic, even though it was put together last minute. We came together at the last minute, but God is able to take last minute things and make them great. Take those who come in last and make them first. So we thank God for being that type of God. Our title this evening is Samson's Call. Samson's Call. And it's coming from Judges 13, 1 through 7, 24 through 25. We're going to read the scripture, and then after we read the scripture, then we're going to break it down, and we're going to have discussion based on the different scriptures. Okay, so we're going to go that route. The Israelites, again, did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the tribe of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. His wife was barren, having borne no children. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman, and he said to her, "Although you are barren, having borne no children, you shall conceive and bear a son. Now be careful not to drink wine or strong drink, or to eat anything unclean. For you shall conceive and bear a son, no razors to come on his head. For the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from birth. It is he who shall begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines." Then the woman came and told her husband, "A man of God came to me, and his appearance was like that of an angel of God, who's most awe-inspiring. I did not ask him where he came from, and he did not tell me his name. But he said to me, 'You shall conceive and bear a son. So then drink no wine or strong drink, and eat nothing unclean. For the boy shall be a Nazarite to God from birth to the day of his death.'" Verse 24, "Then the woman bore a son and named him Samson. The boy grew up, and the Lord blessed him. The Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in the Manaah Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." Now, as we move on into this, we're looking and we're going to break it down because the theme of this story is it's about Samson. And this is a well-known story that everyone knows in the book of Judges. Amen? So God has asked them to do a certain thing. He asked them to do a certain thing. God yearns to liberate the Israelites from their enemies, but the people of God can't find it difficult to obey God's word. The Israelites could not find a way to obey God's word. And when we look at that, when it says that the Israelites could not obey God's word, that means that they turned their backs on God. It's like your parents telling you to do something, and you choose to do something different. So let's move on into the scripture, Samson's parents. And we're coming from 13, 1 and 2, and we're going to pause every now and again. And if you have something, you can go ahead and speak out. The mics are hot on your end, so all you have to do is talk. We meet Samson's father, Manoah, and learn that he was from a town of Zorah. Zorah was located high on the ridge in the hills that marked the border between Philistine territory and the territory inhabited by the tribes of Israel, who were under the rule of the Philistine. Manoah was a member of the tribe of Dan, one of the Israelite tribes. We also meet Manoah's wife, who is not named, and we learn that at this time the story began about Manoah's wife had not been able to bear children. Now, in here, in 1 and 2, it talks about the Philistines. Remember the Philistines, you know, who they were? They were like a valley of giants. They were a valley. They came and they conquered. They conquered. Everyone was afraid of the Philistines. The Israelites were afraid of the Philistines. And because they were afraid of the Philistines, they chose not to obey God's word out of fear. And he comes. Amen. As we move on, Samson's mother, and she had an interaction with an angel. Miss Manoah was blessed by a visit from the angel of the Lord, who proclaimed to her the good news of a son to whom she would give birth. The angel brought an additional word that would seem to promise special status for this child. He would be a Nazarite, a person set apart, one consecrated to the Lord. And keep in mind, the Nazarite was a Nazarite is someone who was set apart from everyone else. Means that you're special. You're going to be special in the eyes of the Lord. We're all special, but there are some that God calls to do a greater deed. Now, the Nazarite was a person who was set aside and consecrated by the Lord. So this means that even in the womb, he was not to experience alcohol or unclean foods. There were requests that the angel said that the mother was prohibited to do. And that was to drink alcohol or to eat unclean food. And number six sets out what is involved in terms of being a Nazarite. So if a person is considered a Nazarite, that means, you know, during that time, that in order to fulfill that promise, she had to perform a certain way. So that means that there was alcohol or unclean food, the angel said, do not partake of that. And it was her job to not do that. And if she chose to do anything different than what the angels had told her to do, the outcome would have been different with Samson. So we'll look at abstinence. Abstinence from wine and strong drink. And this was what was required of her. Amen? This was what required of her. Avoidance also with having your hair cut. That was another requirement. Amen? Do not cut his hair. And by the way, there is no mention that a Nazarite long hair would give a person special strength on its own. There is no mention about that. There is no mention of anyone as a Nazarite having long hair saying that they would have the strength of Samson. Amen? Nazarites they were expected to live an ascetic life. An ascetic life. An ascetic life is one that is disciplined. Disciplined. Meaning that you have to go through life. You would go through a disciplined life. You have to go through a disciplined life. Disciplined life means that there's certain things that you just can't do. No matter who your friends are, you just can't do it. Discipline, meaning that you know what you can do and what you can't do. A disciplined life is someone who's regimented to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. Now I'm going to open up the mics and ask you any questions. Amen. here the angel gives a warning. The angel gives a warning of what's going to happen if you choose not to follow what we ask you to do. There are consequences. Are there consequences in life, in our life? Let's apply it to us. Are there consequences? Do you have consequences? Are there anything, is there anything that you knew that you were not supposed to do and you chose to do it? And there were consequences behind it. And it didn't have to be harsh, but it was a consequence. Because in the back of your mind, knowing that you did what you were not supposed to do, then you say to yourself, okay, I know why this is happening. I know why this is happening. Because I chose not to follow what the Lord had asked me not to do. I chose not to follow my parents' request. I can tell you numerous times that it's happened to me. Growing up, I knew that there, as I went out with my friends away from home, my parents had stipulations. They had certain rules that I was asked to follow while I was away from the house. And if I chose not to follow those rules, I could expect a consequence from my mother or my father, or maybe even both. And here, the angel is telling, he's telling Manoah that if you don't follow what we ask you to do, there's going to be consequences. Amen? Any comments? Okay, we'll move on. The angel gives a warning of what is to come. And it is this child who will begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines in verse 5. So the angels were saying that if you choose abstinence and not to cut his hair, that your son is going to be special and he's going to be a deliverer of the Israelites.
Oh, that's good.
Imagine knowing that no one has the same ability that you have. What do you do with it? Knowing that you have the ability to be able to change the direction of someone's life because of a gift that you have been given by your obedience to the Lord. What do you choose to do with it? Do you choose to honor it? That gift that God has given you? And then after a while, do you become settled rather than honoring God? It becomes honoring self.
Losing
appreciation for the gift that God has given you. Lose appreciation. And that's what it means to remain humble in the eyes of the Lord. Remaining humble. Remaining like a child. Not to the point where I've arrived. I've arrived. Now that I finally have it, I've forgotten about the Lord. I can forget about the Lord. Amen. It goes on, it says, begin to, it talks about the child will begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistine. Begin to deliver, not just a plain deliverer. He's not just going to do something plain, but he's going to do something out of the ordinary that no one else is able to do. Set aside, set apart, being different than any other child at that time. Manoah's wife shares the good news with her husband. Remember when she goes back and tells her husband what the angel of the Lord had said to her? As Samson, as the story unfolds, Samson's violated the Nazarite vow that his mother took. And we know what the vow was. The vow was abstinence of wine and drink and avoidance of cutting his hair. I'm sorry, also unclean, eating anything unclean. Those were the vows that his mother took, even when he was in the womb. I draw a question to you. What vow did you take before the Lord? And you know those are only held in secret. But what vow did you take? That's just something for you to think about. Those of you who are listening by phone, those of you that listen by internet, it's just a thought. What vow did you take? Did the Lord call you for a particular purpose? Did the Lord recover you from something that you went through? Brought you out of something that you went through? Did the Lord rescue you at a time that you needed him? And you said, Lord, I will never do that again. If you can get me out of this, Lord, I will never do that again. That's just a personal question to you. And only you and the Lord know that. If there was a vow, if there was a vow that you made and it was broken, that's between you and the Lord. But it's just food for thought. It's just food for thought. Any questions? Comments?
This is a good message, Elder. And not only that, when you were talking about his mom, how she had to abstain as well to protect the gift that was in her, because the gift in her was the son mm-hmm. that you said in the scripture that was going to deliver the people from the Philistines. Mm-hmm. You know, he had it. Oh my God! The gift that she had, which was him, and had to be birthed in that rule, the criteria of what she had to do. Then, when he came forth, he had to do the same thing. God, because it wasn't about her, it wasn't even about him. It was about the. I don't want to say task, but what God put on him, his assignment. Thank you, Holy Spirit. His assignment, the assignment God put on him to deliver the people. So just like us, God puts assignments in us, giftings and talents and word in us, because it's not just for us, but it's for someone else. Not just one, a lot of ones.
Amen.
You know?
Yeah.
And what we have to do is we have to protect, and that's what she did. Because when she was carrying him, she protected the gift in her. And that's what we have to do. We have to protect the gift in us so we won't abort it. So when it comes to full term and the birthing comes, there's so much in this message alone. My head is just it's good. You can go on, Elder. It's just so good. But you know what? The obedience that she had. The obedience.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. And to go on even further, you know, she could have heard these angels talking to her and not truly believed that they were angels, or realizing that they were divine. They were from the divine. It's almost like someone hearing a voice and trying to determine, is it from God? Is it from God? Asking that question. As opposed to following that voice by obedience. She could have doubted. She could have doubted that it was an angel. But she recognized that it was an angel,
because her spirit connected with it.
Amen.
She could have doubted it in her flesh. But thank God her spirit connected with what that angel said.
Amen. Yeah, absolutely.
And that goes on to what you were saying about when you went out with your friends and there was a certain rule that your parents put in you that you weren't supposed to do, and the consequences. You know what? That's what God, you know what? That's what the Lord does. He gives us things to do. And look what the Israelites, they conceded because of fear. That's why Samson had to come. They conceded because of fear. And because of peer pressure. And because they thought the giants were too big. But if they believed God, Samson wouldn't even have to come. But he had to come because he had to pull them out.
Amen. And the saga, the story goes on. You know, the thing was that Samson, the gift that Samson was given by the Lord. He didn't even use it properly. He's the one that basically fell short from his mother's vow.
Yeah, he did.
He fell short from his mother's vow. Now, how often does the mother cry out to the Lord, "I'm giving my child to you," and the child realizes that he or she has special gifts? They're different from other people, their age. They're different. They stand out. They're set apart. And then they choose, as they're going through life and getting older, God is blessing them and blessing them and blessing them. And then they choose, rather than looking at God, they start looking at self. Rather than satisfying God, it becomes self-gratification. So that's why I like this story of Samson's call, because I always like to apply it to our everyday life. What has God called? I'm talking to those who are listening by phone, by internet. What has God called you to do? What gift has God given you that you know that you stand out, set apart, that you're using out of faith? Believing as you're going through your journey and you're growing up and continually following God. Realizing that you're special, realizing that you are different, people telling you that you're different. Do we continue to follow God? Do we continue to listen? I know my mother prayed for me numerous nights, numerous days. I know that. I know that my grandparents prayed for our generation, our family, numerous nights, numerous days. I know that. And God hears those generational prayers. And then all of a sudden the generations become blessed. But do they continue to follow the Lord? Do they continue to follow the Lord? Do they take their eyes off of God and begin to start to look at worldly things and want to become a part of worldly things? That's a question. Or do we follow it all the way through? In 24 and 25, Samson is blessed. As promised by the angel, Samson was born of Manoah, and his wife was unnamed. And we also learn that the Lord continues to bless Samson as he grew. The Spirit of the Lord began to stir him in verse 25. And with these powerful words, we realize that Samson was called by God to serve the Lord and deliver the Israelites from their enemy. What might have happened if he had not done so? What might have happened? What might have happened had not he followed the Lord? And here we're talking about the Philistines. For 40 years, the Philistines ruled over Israel. And the Israelites were crying out to the Lord for deliverance. And God sent a deliverer. 40 years. They were crying out for a deliverer. After 40 years, you would think that the Israelites began to see the Philistines as their ruler. 40 years? After a while, you began to accept things as they are. Amen? It says here that Samson, he did not deliver his people from their enemy. He will begin to deliver Israel from the hand of the Philistines in Judges 13 and 5. There's a promise. Samson pursued Philistines women and he exacted personal revenge. Exacted meaning demanded personal revenge. So rather than following the Lord, he became revengeful.
Ooh, that's deep right there. Wow.
He became revengeful. That's like someone, rather than following the Lord and doing what the Lord says, revenge is personal. Revenge is personal. I see revenge as personal. When I want revenge for someone, that becomes personal.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Samson fell short. Why? Because it was out of revenge.
Mm-hmm.
Any comments?
Mm-hmm.
We also got a story about Samson. Also, not only for revenge, where else did he fall short? Samson pursued Philistine women. He pursued Philistine women. We all know the story about him falling in love with Delilah, and she cut his hair. We know the story of that. Revenge and a lust for the people that God says that you are going to be a deliverer. So my question, do you think that Samson fell out of the will of God?
Sure he did. Mm-hmm. He did. Mm-hmm. He did.
Yeah,
and you know what's ironic? A lot of people don't think they can fall out of the will of God. That's why it's always so good to take inventory. Because if you think you're going right and really you're going to the left, that's why even Samson, he should have did some soul searching. And then he wouldn't have got as far as he was, but he got consumed. You know, that's why, you know, for me, myself, that's why I always tell the Lord and I've always prayed. I say, Lord, don't leave me to myself. Because this flesh box is always warring with my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So allow me to ask you to not leave me alone, to let me get far, far out of your will. And there's a lot of people that so far out of God's will and think they're still there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Samson was. Until he came up to... He couldn't do nothing after his hair was cut. He was weak.
Mm-hmm.
His gifting was gone.
Mm-hmm.
That God instilled in him was gone. Some people don't even think that the Spirit of the Lord can lift. But he said he won't dwell in any unclean temple.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why, you know, there's so much in this. And especially when you were even talking about the revenge part, you know, the word of God says, he says, vengeance is mine. But Samson had a vengeful heart. But look what God did. Even at the end, when Samson prayed, and all those Philistines were in that arena, God still at the end honored his prayer. But only to the point that because the Philistines were supposed to be overtaken.
Mm-hmm.
So in the end, and it's sorry that Samson had to die too, but in the end, they still were delivered.
Yeah.
They still got their delivery.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just sad it went the way it did.
Yeah. Amen. Any more comments?
Any more
comments? Lines are open. Amen. Rather than following the promise, Samson chose to pursue women and demanded personal revenge. And that was his downfall. So this story really relates to our life as men, our life as well, and our journey, and how we respond to our call. Once God elevates you, do a person choose, I'm not going to say choose, does a person take their eyes off of God after God elevates you over a certain amount of years? Because we are here for a purpose. You are here for a purpose. I'm here for a special purpose. Are we responding to that call? Are we responding to that call? And again, those are just questions that only you can answer. It's between you and God. We're not here with this Bible study to criticize. We're not here to look at anything as negative. We're here to grow from our experiences. Grow from our experiences meaning being able to reflect on where we've come from, where we are now, and where God wants to take us. Elevation. Not becoming comfortable with your position right now. Because God has more for you. God has more for you. God wants to elevate you to another level of his call. And when God wants to elevate, we have to remember our call. We have to remember that it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. As God elevates us, we have to continue to remember our call. What is our call? What did God call you to do? What did God call me to do? We have to remember that call and keep our eyes focused on God. Because the world will give you all kinds of acclamations. Accolades, rather. The world will give you all kinds of accolades and tell you how great you are and all the things that you can do, all the things that you have done. You. Not God, but you. And within that mindset, within that thought, that becomes a separation. If you allow to focus on the world, to focus on the flesh and not the spirit. God wants each and every one of you to do extraordinary, do the extraordinary. God is not a God who calls anyone without preparing them. So what does that mean? That means that we have to go through a process of growth. We have to go through a process of growth. And as we go through that process of growth, it may appear like it's a long journey. But in God's eyesight, you might just be starting. In God's eyesight, he doesn't see it as long. He just wants us to be faithful to our call. And not get caught up in worldly things. Not get caught up in things that we know that we're not supposed to entertain. In this saga, his mother made a vow. Three things. Don't eat anything unclean. Don't partake of any strong drink. And do not touch your hair. And when we choose to break that covenant, then there are consequences. There are consequences.
Amen.
Hey, let me tell you, my brothers, my sisters in Christ, God loves all of us.
Loves.
But we are required. We are required to follow him all the way to the very end. Not get halfway or close to the finish line because we're tired of following him and we feel like there is no progress. Not get close to the finish line and feel like I'm ready to do something else. You can't quit on God. I'm sorry to tell you. You can't choose when to quit. You can't choose when to stop. You cannot choose that. Only God can.
Amen.
And we have to be faithful to the end.
Amen.
And let me tell you something, my brothers and my sisters, as we remain faithful to the very end, God rewards us above and beyond anything that we can ever imagine. Why? That is just to show his love for us.
Amen.
All the things we try to gain here on this world, in this world, all the things we're looking in this world, all of a sudden they begin to start to happen. God just allows us to happen. Why? Because he says you've been faithful. You've been a faithful servant here. What has been taken from you, I'm going to restore it.
Amen.
God does not fall back on his promise. When we make a vow, when we make a covenant with God, we have to follow it to the end.
Yeah.
As difficult as it may appear, we're not in control of any of this. It may appear like we are, but we're not. God is in control. And once we understand and recognize who God is, once we understand and recognize the power of God, once we understand and recognize that God will do everything that he says he's going to do and more, once we do that, my brothers and my sisters, God will bless the desires of your heart.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
He will bless the desires of your heart. Why? Because of your obedience. Because of your vow.
Yes.
Because of your faithfulness.
Thank you, Jesus.
God will do just that. God wants to show the world through you who he is and what he's capable of doing. So I just say to you, those of you who are listening, don't give up. Don't give up. God is not through with you yet. Don't give up. Don't stop before the finish line. There's a word that says, there's a phrase that goes on, it says, the race does not go to the swift. It doesn't go to the fastest, but it goes to those who endure to the very end. To me, that means that when I say the very end, means that you have come to the finish line. And then God says to you, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over many. Well, the world came and told you how great you was. You didn't focus on self, but you focused on God. Be like Samson's mother, Manoah. Don't doubt what God says to you. Manoah didn't realize she was entertaining the divine. She saw him as an angel, but she didn't realize she was entertaining the divine. But she was faithful. She was faithful. She did not doubt. And I just say to you, be like Manoah. God wants you to be able to receive everything that you can even think of and even more just by your faith. And through your faith, you begin to start to bless others who may be thinking about stopping. So I say to you, press forward. I do thank you for tuning in. Once again, we are New Beginnings Ministry. We're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. We do invite you back again next Wednesday at 7 o'clock. May God bless you. And remember that every day is a new beginning. I have is lost, it seems.
I face the dawn.